We could be in here, and I appreciate that. It's good to see each of you this evening. Allie Davis, it's nice to see you up there. And it's home for spring break. Always good to see young people here in church when they're home. We thank God for that. We're going to look tonight at another couple in the Bible. We've been looking at some couples as we've had opportunity. We've had a couple weeks off because we had the funeral and then had a special service the Wednesday before. But we're looking tonight at a very negative couple. And you know there's people that are going to learn from your life even if they learn a bad lesson. But I want to be a person that folks learn some good lessons from. But if God needs to use us as a negative example in lives of people, he'll do that. And that's what he does with this couple, what he's done with this couple that we're looking at tonight. So Ahab and Jezebel. And so if you would turn your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter number 21. Back in the Old Testament, 1 Kings 21, they're stacked up together with the Chronicles. It's fairly easy to find 1 Kings chapter 21. And so as we get into the Bible this evening, I trust it'll be a blessing to you, but we, as I mentioned, learn from the good characters, the virtuous characters, but then we also can learn from the wicked. And as happens, your dad, your mom, sometimes they've told you before, don't be like that. Don't be like that young person. Don't be like that couple. Don't be like that. And this is one that they could say that about. So we're going to look at the Ahab and Jezebel. Let's look at verse number one. It came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, the king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near under my house. And I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it, or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. We'll stop there for a little bit. We're going to work our way down through this passage, but we're going to look here and first of all see that we see the selfishness of Ahab and Jezebel. We're looking at this. Now, you got to understand, this is the king. He can have everything he wants. And they prove that he does have and take anything he wants in this story. But he can have anything he wants. But the selfishness says, there's something that I want that somebody else has, and I want to take it. This land was the land of Naboth's ancestors. Look down at verse number 3. And Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. So this has been in my family a long time. This is my inheritance. This is what I've counted. This is my family lineage. This is it's been to my in my family lineage. And so we understand that this is the pride and joy of Naboth. Now, we see that Ahab was a selfish man. He looked out for himself and he wanted to get what was his. Now, I started thinking about this while I was studying and getting ready. Some people, it's true, that are naturally more selfish than other people. Some people just have a kinder disposition. Some people are a little bit more thoughtful. It's not that they're trying to be, it's just that they are that way. And so there's really nothing that a person can do about that. It's just how you are, I suppose. But that's not an excuse and that's not an allowance just to say, well, you know that's just the way I am. You're just going to have to accept it. No, that instead is the marching orders for us to try to curb that by the help of the Holy Spirit. You see, when the Holy Spirit moves into us, when we got saved, we stop using our natural self as an excuse to people to say, well, that's just the way I am. Well, the Bible says that we're a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. But it still is true that some people, and you may be one of them, you may be married to one of them, and that's not even a joke. That's true that some folks are prone to be a little bit more selfish than others. But if that is you, then use this opportunity to ask the Lord to help me be what I ought to be and not be so selfish. I can tell you this, usually when you have a negative, there's something on the other side of that that is a little bit more positive, and so you usually have some strength in one way. For instance, if you're a kind somebody and you're always thoughtful and you're always putting other people's first, you may not be the one that leads out and takes a whole project and drives it home because you would have thought too much of the people. You might not have run over folks. So you oftentimes can't have both. And so Ahab, wicked as he is, he's following his natural selfish desires, of which we may have some as well. But again, that's not an excuse. But so I'm asking us to learn from this man, learn from this woman, that we not be those ones that get things from other people. Let's learn to be happy when somebody else succeeds. It should have made his day. We see the selfishness of Ahab and Jezebel. But I want you to look on down to verse number 4. And Ahab came unto the house, heavy, displeased, because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. It's amazing, if you didn't have all of the regal language of the scripture here, you would laugh, because here he is. Basically, he just goes and like a beginner age child, jumps on his bed, turns his head away from the room, and pouts. And so there's no other way that you could describe that when you look at it. And so we see that his softness, and these are just all start with an S, but we see the softness in that. I don't mean soft as in he's tender. I mean the softness as he lets things bother him. He was heavy. He was displeased because of the word of Naboth the Jezreelite. Remember, this is the king. This is the one that has rule over the kingdom here. And he's letting the happenings of the day get him upset. So it seems like he's a child. And one time my cousin was staying with us. He's about my age. And so he didn't like what mom fixed for supper. And my dad, it sounded like, was having an uncharacteristic sympathetic tone to his voice. He said, "That's all right." I thought, "Well, that's all right." I said, "I've never heard it like that before." And so my cousin said, I don't like that." And dad said, "That's all right." And I thought, "Man, well, who is this guy?" But then dad came in clutch like he always does. He said, "You'll like what we have next meal." So dad was trying to teach us not to be soft. And he was trying to teach us that you don't just pout when you don't get what you want. He said, "That's all right. If you don't want to eat, you don't have to eat." Now, I'm not supposing that you should do that. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that here we have somebody who just pouted when he did not get what he wanted. And so Ahab, his spirit, it was noticeable. It was sad. He was the king of the kingdom. He should have been more in control of his emotions. He was an adult. He was a leader. He was the king. He should have had control over himself. And sometimes we don't have much more control over ourselves than that either. And so we see that his softness was there, his inability or unwillingness to control his own emotions. Now, how many of you, we'll take a poll, how many of you have not had everything go like you wanted in life? And you learned at a very early age, you got to get over it. As as people might say, you've got to build that bridge and get over it, because that's the way life goes. Well, this man is, whether he was always entitled like this or whether that came on after being in the leadership position, we don't know. But we find that his softness or his lack of character there, that's given by him. And so let's move our way on down here. But on comes the scene, his wife, who's going to fix it all. In a horrible mess of a way, but going to fix it all. We're going to see her stubbornness. Look at verse 7. "And Jezebel, his wife, said unto him, 'Dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise, eat bread, let that heart be merry. I'll give thee this vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite.' So she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal, and sent the letters unto the elders and to the nobles that were in the city dwelling with Naboth." And so she's going to give this elaborate plan. She hatches this plan that's evil and wicked. And so she comes on the scene and says, "You know, man of mine, he was going to be crying around like this." And that's what he should have been saying. "I'm not going to do this. I'll just accept the way it is." But here we have her stubbornness, if we're keeping up with our alliteration. And so we see that she comes up with this plan. I coached Little League, or T-ball, Little League soccer for a little while with my brother-in-law before he went to heaven with some little kids, little four-year-olds. And it was always funny, never very talented, but always funny. It's amazing. None of the kids were under the illusion that they were good, but some of the moms were under the illusion that their kids were good. And they were trying to hone those skills. This one little guy, we were coaching baseball by that point, but this one daddy was out there. He was getting this little guy, and he was only that tall. He was telling him, set and strike. I said, I don't even think he knows what the object of this game is, let alone know how to set your foot and strike. But we were back on soccer. And so I was coaching them, and we had this young lady, the mom of one of the kids, And every time that something happened to her little kid, that she would run right out there and run right out there and take care of him, scoop him up, and bring him to the side. Now, thankfully, he was small enough, he liked the attention. Now, just on the other field over, the moms were still the same, but the kids had gotten up to 7 or 8 or 9. And by the time they got there to that age, they did not like mom coming out to the field anymore. And so they did not like their mom being stubborn, and they did not like her hatching a plan to say, we're going to make this work. And so we see that those are funny stories, but this one about Naboth and this, or Ahab and Jezebel rather, is not a funny story. We see this wicked woman that brings it out, the plan that is touched by the wicked one. But we see here that God's not going to let it go forward. Let's move forward just a few verses. We're down to same chapter, but verse number 17. Now, first of all, we're going to find that Jezebel puts out her plan. The men of the city, they carry out the plan. Naboth, in verse number 14, if you work your way down through there, you see he's stoned, he's dead. And it came to pass when Jezebel had heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee. Basically, she was saying, you couldn't get it done, I got it done. He's not alive, he's dead. Up until this point, she succeeded. If you could discount God, if you could discount the judgment of God, if you could discount whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap, if you could discount all those things and you got to this point, problem solved. Ahab had a need, Jezebel met the need, Naboth was in the way, Jezebel got him out of the way. But there was one problem, there was God's strictness. Verse number 17, and the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he's in the vineyard of Naboth, whither he has gone down to possess it. And so we see that the strictness of God, that God is going to come on the scene as if he'd ever gone anywhere. He wasn't, but he was there. And so he has Elijah go down and confront Ahab. And he's got this question he's going to ask in verse number 19. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, in the place where dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. God pronounced judgment upon him. We just saw one in verse number 19. Look in verse number 23. And of Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, the dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall, by the area there of Jezreel. And so we see that God's strictness, or his scolding, whatever you want to put in there for another S, his strictness was on the scene, because he sends the pastor, sends the preacher, sends the prophet down to say, Ahab, you haven't got away with anything. Now, we have to go down. You're looking in the conclusion, if you would look there, and you'll see where these things come to pass. We'll see where the prophecies come about. We saw in verse number 23 that Jezebel was foretold what was going to happen to her. We saw in verse number 19 what was prophesied about Ahab. Well, let's look over in chapter 21, verse number 23. We see that there in 23, but now look over in 2 Kings. We may come back there, but let's look in 2 Kings chapter number 9. 2 Kings chapter number 9, verse number 30. The Bible says this, and when Jehu was come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it, and she painted her face, and she turned her head and looked out at the window. And as Jehu entered into the gate, she said, had Zimri peace, who slew his master? We're looking on down through here. And he lifted up his face to the window and said, who is on my side? Who? And there looked out unto him two or three eunuchs. And he said, throw her down. So they threw her down. One old preacher was preaching through there. And he said, that fellow looked up and he says, who's with me? And he said, a couple guys stuck their heads out. We said, we're with you. He said, fling her down. And that's not exactly the way it says it, but it does get the idea. And he said, throw her down. So they threw her down. And some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall and on the horses, and he trode her underfoot. And when he was come in, he did eat and drink. And so he goes in there and has his food. And he goes see now this cursed woman and bury her, for she is the king's daughter. and they went to bury her, but they found no more of her than the skull and the feet and the palms of her hand. And so we see the prophecy fulfilled that God said, where the dog shall eat Jezebel. That's exactly what they do over by the wall of Jezreel. And then we see that with Jezebel, and then with Naboth in the, if you're still holding your place back where we started, just one chapter further, chapter number 22, verse number 38, we're going to see the prophecy fulfilled with him as well. So in verse number 37, it says, so the king died, verse 38, and one washed a chariot in the pool of Samaria, and the dogs licked up his blood, and they washed his armor according to the word of the Lord, which he had spake. Where did he speak it? Right back in chapter 21, where we learned about. And I think about this as we see it concluded, that Scripture is very true in Galatians chapter 6, verse number 7, where it says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, I don't think that anybody in this room, me or you, are going to be in danger of doing what this couple did. But whether it's on a grand scale like that or something that we just consider a little bit low key, can I just remind you that God keeps perfect score of everything? And I say that not to scare you. I say that so that we'll remember that we ought to live a way life that God can bless. You know, the scripture says that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro, beholding and all the earth, beholding the evil and the good. And a lot of times preachers will get up and they'll say, that means he'll see every evil thing that you do, and he does. But you know, the opposite is just as true, beholding the evil and the good. That means when you help that neighbor of yours, when you help that coworker of yours, when you help that church member of yours, and they don't know anything about who did it, God's eyes are beholding the evil and the good. And so I think about this, and I apologize for it's probably painful to listen to me tonight, but I think about the potential that this couple had. So this lady could have been involved in all kinds of society work, could have been involved in all kinds of helps organization, could have been involved in all kinds of things to help young people in the kingdom, but she chose to chuck all of that and go for a petty desire of her wicked husband. And here we have this negative example that's given to us this evening. So remember this, that God always keeps his promises. I've told you before, but my mama always used to say that everybody brings joy into the room. Some people bring it by coming. Some people bring it by going. And so in that same way, every couple that you know and every couple that's in the scriptures, they're an example, either a bad one or a good one. And there's so many bad things that I get involved in and you get involved in because we're all sinners saved by grace. But I want to strive to live my life so that if I could, I would leave an example for somebody that's coming after us or that's around us as contemporaries, that they might not have to look at the bad examples and say, well, now I know what not to do. I'd like to be that one that they say, well, I learned something from him. I learned something from her. I learned something from their marriage. And so as we look at this aspect of Ahab and Jezebel, I trust that if nothing else, you would have the determination tonight to say, I want my life to be a positive example. Many of you have children in this room. Have children somewhere downstairs or across the way. You have grandchildren. We ought to make it out that our lives, we may never get accolades, but our lives would be good examples to those people who are watching us. And may we never find ourselves like Ahab and Jezebel. Well, if you would, I'd ask you to bow your heads and we'll pray. We've got something right after the invitation I want to rehearse to you as a church family. Trust it'll be a blessing. But before all that, let's just have a time of invitation. We'll have our ladies come and play something on the instruments. And as they make their way to the instruments and play, I invite you to come. I'm going to ask Brother Daniel to come and finish the invitation. And if God's dealing with your heart, then I want you to certainly do business with him, whatever your need might be.
All had times in our lives where we've seen somebody that was a good example. We've all seen those who've been bad examples. And we've just heard about a couple that provides an example for us of what not to do. And it ought to be a wake-up call to any of us if we see any tendencies in our own hearts And truthfully, we could, because we're all selfish every once in a while. We all try to put our way before the people around us, and it's easy to do. That's not the way God wants us to be, and we want to pray the Lord would use us to be an example of what we ought to do by responding in a positive sense to a negative example. And it could be something that we could make a great difference in people's lives all around us. And it might be something else that you've had the Lord speak to your heart about. You may not need to necessarily come forward for it, but if you'd like to, that's certainly an option. Or if there's ever anything after a service time you need one of us for, that's why we're here. And we'd certainly be available for you as well if you needed us for anything. They'll play through one rest of this verse, and then we'll move on here in just a moment. Father, we thank you for the testimony of Scripture that sheds light in our lives to tell us what to and what not to do. Lord, I pray you'd bless these truths as we try to take them and apply them. Lord, I pray you'd help us to live our lives as good examples, and Lord, to lay our own desires aside so that we might serve the people around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Well, I wanted to mention that we still have some of these brochures that were programs, rather, from Preacher Lassley's funeral service that we had last week. They're right in the center of the lobby underneath the TV on that wall of the usher's office. So if you want some of those or you want to take them, you're certainly welcome to. That's what they're for. So, Brother Danny, why don't you come and share something with us? I met with the deacon sometime back. We need to